Well, this morning, let us open the Word to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 we'll be looking at today. And we'll see that this is really going to be an exhortation for us this morning. An exhortation to not drift from the Word of God in our lives. Now, the writer here in Hebrews, we don't know who it was, but just looking at some of the comments that others have made, it looks like it could be a strong possibility for the Apostle Paul, but we really don't know. But he was writing to Jewish believers that had received Jesus Christ as their Messiah, and he was writing them because of his concern of their spiritual walk with the Lord. They had not really grown in their faith, and they were kind of still in the baby stages of their faith. They hadn't matured or grown in their faith. They hadn't been applying the Word of God to their lives and be doers of the Word of God in their lives. And so they were immature. And so the writer here is going to exhort them actually five times throughout the book of Hebrews, exhorting them concerning the Word of God. And so we're going to look at the first exhortation today, and starting in chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. So here we come to this exhortation, and there's actually five exhortations that will be given throughout the book of Hebrews, and let's just briefly look at that, and then we'll see that there's a progression here that the writer is giving to those believers. The first exhortation we read this morning, let us not drift from the Word of God, those things that we have heard, the gospel, the great gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of our great salvation. Let us not drift from those things that we have heard concerning the gospel. And then the second exhortation is found in chapters 3 and 4, is let us not doubt the Word of God. Let us not doubt the Word of God. And the writer in these chapters brings the point out that the children of Israel had wandered in the wilderness and could not enter into the promised land, all those blessings that God had in store for them, because of their unbelief. You see, the word that they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So the exhortation, let us not doubt the word. The third exhortation that the writer will give is in chapters 5 and 6, and it's an exhortation to let us not grow dull toward the word of God. And he goes on to tell them, you have become dull of hearing. Not physical hearing, but spiritual hearing. You've drifted from the Word. You've doubted the Word. And now you are having a hard time hearing the Word. You're having a hard time hearing from the Lord. You're still immature as believers. By now, the writer here says, by now you should have been teachers, but you have someone that needs to teach you again the basic principles of faith. And so they have not grown. And the fourth exhortation is, let us not despise the Word of God in our lives. And then the warning against disobeying the Word. So we see the progression here that the writer is building, that if we begin to compromise or to be complacent towards the Word of God, we'll begin to drift from the Word of God, and then we'll end up starting to doubt the Word of God. And then we'll begin to grow dull towards the Word of God. We won't be hearing God speak to us from the Word. And we'll end up despising and disobeying the Word of God. And so our exhortation this morning is to give the more earnest heed to this great salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ, in our lives. Now, anytime we come to a break in the chapter, or we come to a verse that says, therefore, that's always a place of application of a previous principle that has been developed in the previous verses or chapter. So let's quickly turn back to chapter 1 and see why the therefore is therefore. Chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 4. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So the point, the principle that is being built here is that Jesus Christ is God's way of communicating to us today. In these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son. This glorious gospel of Jesus Christ that we have, this great salvation that we have, has been spoken to us in His last days. And so Jesus here is far superior than the prophets and the angels. And the key word here in Hebrews is better. Jesus brings us a better covenant, that covenant in His blood. That new relationship now that we have with God is through Christ. He's bringing us better covenant. He's bringing us better promises. He's bringing us better priesthood. And He's bringing us a better sacrifice. And so it's the superiority of Christ and His message to us. God has spoken to us in these last days through His Son. And now the exhortation, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to those things that we have heard, this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, this great salvation of Jesus Christ. And hear this word, or this phrase, give the more earnest heed, is actually a nautical term. It's to anchor ourselves into the Word of God. Stay anchored to the Word. Don't allow yourselves to drift. But anchor yourselves to this glorious gospel that we have, this glorious salvation that we have. Anchor yourself deep into God's Word and stay tethered and tied to the Word of God, not allowing yourself to drift, but to stay tethered and tied and anchored to the Word of God. And this word earnest, it expresses a superabundant heed to the Word of God, giving it all of our effort, being serious about the Word of God, letting the Word of God be that priority that it should be in our lives. And so giving that earnest, that superabundant heed to the things that we have heard concerning the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, this great salvation that we have. And to heed, that word heed, is just packed with meaning. It's actually mentioned 156 times throughout the Scripture. To take heed, to give the more earnest heed to those things that we have heard. And it could mean to hold the mind toward those things that we have heard. Let's not let our mind drift from those things that we have heard, but let our mind hold on to those things that we have heard. And then let us apply oneself to the things we have heard. How important that is. And to pay attention to those things that we have heard, and to adhere to those things that we have heard, to glue yourself, to be anchored deep into the Word of God, into the glorious salvation that we have. And so the exhortation for us to give the more earnest heed to those things we have heard. And in verse 2, we see, if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and how did it prove to be steadfast? Every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. God's word is steadfast. God's word is trustworthy. We can rely upon the word of God. I love what it says in Joshua concerning the word of God. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord has spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Isn't that assuring? The word of God never fails. It always comes to pass. All of God's promises he keeps. And amen to that. And amen to that. It never fails. He always fulfills his promises towards us. God's word is steadfast. And our exhortation is to stay firm, to anchor deep into that word of God that we have before us. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return void to me, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I send it. God's word going forth, accomplishing those things in our lives that he desires. God's word. Not only that, but this glorious gospel that we had, as we've saw in the first chapter, God has spoken to us in these last days through his Son. And in verse 3, it says, this great salvation that we have, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. The very words of our gospel come from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, spoken to us. And we need to heed those things that he has instructed us in, giving the more earnest heed to the words of Jesus, this glorious gospel, this great salvation that we have. And was confirmed to us by those who heard him, the apostles. They heard the words of Jesus, and as Jesus ascended up into heaven, they received the great commission to go out. And as they went out, we see that God also, bearing witness both with signs and wonders and various miracles, confirming the word of God that the apostles were preaching, this glorious gospel, this glorious salvation, as they went out and preached and the great commandment, the great commission. God was there working with them. I love what it says in Matthew's gospel towards the end. It says, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. And so we see throughout the book of Acts the accompanying signs that went forward and confirmed the word as the Lord was working with them. And as the Lord works in our lives today, he's still doing miracles for us today, confirming his great salvation to us. And it's only through God's word that we really discover our faith in Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So it's only through the word of God that we receive our faith to believe. And it's only through the word of God that our faith increases. I love what it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, for in it, that is the gospel of Christ, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So God increases our faith as our faith muscles are exercised. As God tests our faith, we grow from faith to faith. And that only comes through the word of God, by believing the word of God, by allowing the word of God to become active in our lives. We grow in our faith and in our trust in God as we rely upon the direction from his word, as we grow in our faith, trusting his word. And it's only through the word of God that our faith can be maintained. We need the word of God on a daily basis for our daily bread, our daily sustenance, to feed our spirit, to keep our faith levels maintained and up. It's through the washing of the water of the Word of God that cleanses us and sanctifies us and prepares us for ministry, and it brings our faith levels and maintains our faith levels. It's only through the Word of God that God can maintain our faith levels in Him as we read and are instructed and are encouraged through God's Word in our lives. And it's only through the Word. And so the encouragement this morning, or the exhortation for us this morning, is we must give the more earnest heed to those things that we have heard, those things concerning Jesus Christ, this great salvation that we have in Him. And we'll be looking at that later on in our study, the greatness of our salvation. And so how do we practically heed the Word of God in our lives? Well, let's turn to the book of James, chapter 1, a book on practical Christian living. A familiar passage for all of us, but it's worth reviewing again. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Here James is going to encourage us to be doers of the Word. Verse 22, "But be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." So not only are we to give the more earnest heed to the Word of God, but the intention of giving the more earnest heed to the Word of God is to allow that Word of God to be applied in our lives. And so he says, "Be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." And I think oftentimes we kind of think that simply knowing the Word is equivalent to doing the Word. And it really isn't. There is a difference there. And we can know the Word. We can have a great knowledge of the Word. We can even be able to teach the Word of God. But if it just stops there in our life personally, and we are not doing the Word of God, or practicing what we preach, as the cliche says, then really we are deceiving ourselves. The Word of God is not becoming effective in our lives. Our witness or our testimony won't be as effective in our lives because we're simply not doing what we know we should be doing. And so to practically heed the Word of God, to give the more earnest heed to the Word of God, is simply by faith and by God's grace and help to do the Word of God, to apply the Scriptures to our life, to make the Scriptures become alive to us, to authenticate our faith. And so God wants us to be doers of His Word and not hearers only, because by doing that we deceive ourselves, not just in the knowing, but it's in the doing that the blessing comes. And so God is encouraging us here this morning through just a practical step in the book of James to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And then he describes a person that just hears the Word only and doesn't do it, doesn't apply it to their life. He says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror." So here the Word of God is being used as a mirror. And that's interesting, because what do we use a mirror for? For examination, don't we? So the Word of God here is to be like a mirror in our lives. It's to be for self-examination. And that's what the intent of the Word of God is to be in our lives. It's to examine us. It's to get into us. The Word needs to come off the pages by faith and become alive in our life. As Hebrews 4:12 tells us, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So the Word of God is meant to be as a mirror for self-examination for ourselves. And so here the person that just hears the Word of God and is not a doer of the Word of God, he's not allowing the Word of God then to examine him. And so he kind of just glances at the mirror. And then he goes away and he forgets what he looks like. And that's the way it is with us. If we hear the Word of God, hear a message on the Word of God, read in our devotions, and however we get the Word of God into our lives, and then we hear that Word and we don't apply it in our lives, so we don't make that Word alive in our lives, then we'll forget what we've just studied. We'll forget what we've just heard, and we'll go away and we'll forget. And so to keep ourselves from forgetting who we are in Christ, we need to be doing the Word of God. And so we want the Word of God to be as a mirror in our life. We want the Word of God to examine us, to correct us. That's what the Word of God is profitable for, right? There's all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be equipped for ministry. And so the Word of God is that's its intent for our lives. So James here is encouraging us that we shouldn't be like just the hearer that just glances at the Word of God and then and goes away and forgets what he's just read. But if we do the Word of God, if we give the more earnest heed to the Word of God, then that Word of God becomes active and alive in our lives, and it authenticates our faith and our belief in Jesus, and it will make a big difference in our life. That's kind of where the rubber meets the road for us as Christians, right? That's where the rubber meets the road for us. The reality of living for Christ is believing and doing His Word. And that's the exhortation that the writer in Hebrews is giving us, to give a more earnest heed, to anchor deep into the Word of God, to not untie ourselves or allow us to drift from the Word of God, but to be anchored solidly in the Word of God. And let's look at verse 25 in James. For he who looks into a perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and here this word for looking into means to stoop down and take a close look. And that's what we need to do as we read the Word of God. We need to not just give a cursory reading of the Word of God or a quick glance over the Word of God, but to look, to stoop down, to get into the Word of God and let the Word of God get down into us and change us and help us be conformed into the image of His Son. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Or literally, in his doing. See, it's in the doing of the Word of God comes the blessing from the Word of God in our lives. It's in the doing that makes us more like Jesus. That's the truth of the matter. It's in the doing that makes us more like Jesus. Jesus said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And as we do those things, as we apply the Word of God, as we make the Word of God active in our lives, we'll be building our faith on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And when those storms come, and they will, we'll have that solid foundation in Jesus Christ. We'll be anchored deep into the Word of God. We'll be tethered and tied, and we'll be holding firm to the Word of God in our lives. It'll be an anchor to our souls. And so, the encouragement to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. And it's in the doing of the Word of God that we are built on that solid foundation. And if we're just a hearer only, then our foundation is going to be like sand. And when those storms of life come, we'll find ourselves just drifting down. But we want to be solid. We want to be connected. We want to be anchored deep in God's Word. Let's turn back now to Hebrews chapter 2 and We want to look at this word, drift away. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Again, a nautical term used, and it's referring to just sort of untying your line from the anchor, untying from the mooring, and loosening yourselves, and allowing the current of the world to just draw you away from the Word of God. Allowing all distractions that come in our lives to draw us away from the Word of God. So if we're not heeding the Word of God, if the Word of God is not being applied in our lives, then the next step will be that we will have a tendency to drift from those things that we have heard. So the exhortation is not to drift, not to drift away. And sometimes drifting goes practically unnoticed in our lives. My wife and I went to the beach a couple of weeks ago, and I brought my boogie board with me, first time out in the water this year. And so I got in the water and paddled out and was having a good time and really didn't pay a lot of attention to where I had gone in offshore. So I didn't keep my focus on where I had gone in on shore, and I was more interested in just seeing the sets of waves come in and just having and enjoying myself with that. And I began to drift. I had no idea I was drifting, but I began to drift. And I was just, again, not focusing on where I had come in, but just focusing on the waves that were coming and enjoying myself. And as time went on, I just continued to drift, but I didn't realize I was drifting. I didn't realize it until I got out. And when I got out, I said, ah, man, I'm 3 or 4 lifeguards down. I can't believe I drifted. And I didn't even feel it. I didn't even notice I was drifting. And that's what he's saying to us this morning. That if we're not paying attention to God's Word, if we're not heeding the Word of God, if we're not doers of the Word of God, we might be drifting. And we might not even recognize that we're drifting. Now let's look at a man in the Bible, King Solomon, who began to drift in his life, and he probably didn't even recognize that he was drifting. So let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 2. We're going to start off with Solomon receiving a charge from King David to heed the Word of God in his life. 1 Kings chapter 2. First Kings chapter 2, we'll be looking at verse 1. Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. How is he going to prove himself a man? And keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn, that the Lord may fulfill his word which was spoken concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. So here Solomon was charged by his father to heed the Word of God in his life. And Solomon, I believe, did. I believe Solomon started out heeding the Word of God in his life. And we see how God just blessed Solomon so much. He gave him wisdom above anyone else. And everyone was coming to Solomon to hear of his wisdom. And the kingdom of Israel had reached this sort of golden age in zenith. It had never reached this height before. And Solomon was successful in many of his endeavors. He built a wonderful temple to worship the Lord in. And it was magnificent, and he built a glorious palace for himself. And he had accomplished many great things, and he was world famous, and people came to him. And in the midst of all of this great success that he was experiencing, at that same time, He was not giving the more earnest heed to the Word of God. And he began to drift and not even realize it, I'm sure. And let's look at chapter 11 and see what we're talking about here. Chapter 11. Here's Solomon in the height of all of his success. Was ignoring, he was not giving heed to the charge that his father had given him. Chapter 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, "You shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods." Solomon clung to these in love. Solomon did not heed the word of God in this area of his life. He allowed this area of his life to be compromised. He became unequally yoked. God warned him that if he did this, his heart would be turned. And Solomon did not heed the word of God. Now, I believe that when he began to accumulate these wives in his life, it was at an earlier age in his life. And maybe he thought that he was above this scripture. Well, you know, maybe this scripture doesn't really apply to my circumstances, you know, as we can sometimes justify. But as we see in verse 4, "For it was so when Solomon was old." You see, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. He did not give the more earnest heed to the things that he had heard, the charge that was given to him. And as a result, Solomon's kingdom was split and divided, and the kingdom of Israel, from that point on, was on a slow decline. Solomon did not heed the word of God. We see something similar in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, as Jesus addresses the church of Ephesus and commends them on the works. He says, "I know your works. You've been patient. You have rebuked false teachers. You have stood up against evil. You have labored for my name's sake and have not grown weary." Let's see, the churches at Ephesus had drifted. They had drifted from the relationship with Christ. And Jesus had to remind them of that. He says, "You have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works of fellowshipping with the Lord." And so the church of Ephesus also drifting in their relationship with Christ, and Jesus bringing them back to that point where they needed to repent, to return to the first works, the relationship with the Lord. And so there are signs that we can watch for in our own lives. Signs that might have to do with the Word of God itself. How much time are we spending in the Word of God? What's its importance in our life? Our prayer life. Our prayer life important to us? Our compassion for the lost. Do we still have that compassion to share the gospel with others? Are we concerned about the lost? We know it's God's priority. Is it ours? Do we have that compassion for the lost? How about our church attendance? Is our church attendance sporadic? Or do we make it a priority for our families? These are all things that we can watch for in our lives to see possibly if there might be some drifting in our lives. Well, let's turn back to Hebrews chapter 2, and we want to look now at this glorious salvation that we are to give the more earnest heed to. Let's look at this glorious salvation, this great salvation that we have in Christ. Hebrews chapter 2, we want to look at verse 3. Well, let's start with verse 2 again. "For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And this word for neglect means to make light of. And we are exhorted here not to make light of this great salvation that we have. I think a lot of times we might take our salvation for granted. And so we need to be, I believe, refreshed from time to time in our great salvation to just realize how great our salvation is. Man, we have got a wonderful Savior. And that's why our salvation is so great. Jesus Christ is our great Savior, isn't He? He's the great shepherd of the flock. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the author and the beginner and our finisher of our faith. The author and finisher of our faith. He is a great Savior, and we have a great salvation in Him. We have a great salvation in Him. And so we need to praise God. We need to thank God for the salvation that we have. And that'll keep us from neglecting our great salvation. You know, our salvation is great because it's the very part of our worship to Him. Jesus said, hey, when one sinner comes to repentance, all of the angels rejoice. All of the angels rejoice because we've got a great salvation. The angels are rejoicing over one sinner that repents. We see the great celebration that goes on. We have a great Savior. We have a great salvation. And we are warned not to neglect it. We have a great salvation, and the worship of our salvation we find in Revelation chapter 9, or 5, when John sees a lamb as though it had been slain. And here we see that the 24 elders and the four living creatures and the raptured church present there singing a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and out of every tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God. So we see the worship that goes on in heaven, the church worshiping the Lord. He is worthy because He has redeemed us to God by His blood. Our salvation is great because it's the very message of the church. It's the message that we are to heed, the message that we are to share with others. That's the great salvation that we have, and we are not to neglect it, as our exhortation tells us. Our salvation is great because it's the very testimony that we have, isn't it? It's what Christ has done for us, our own personal testimony. I think it's good for us to remember when the Lord spoke to our hearts and when we responded to the gospel. And we should be prepared in our own lives to be able to share our testimony with others. And we can do that in various ways. We can have maybe like a 1-minute testimony or a 5-minute testimony or a 30-minute testimony. Just being prepared to share what God has done for you and for me and how strong and how powerful our testimony is. And every time we share our testimony with others, we're proclaiming the greatness of our salvation. I remember being involved here a few years back in the jail ministry. And as we went to the jail ministry and provided a service for the men that were there, in each of our services, we always had opportunity for one of us in the group to share their testimony, to let those men see a life that had been changed by Jesus Christ. And there's nothing more powerful than our testimony, to share with others what Jesus has done to us. And so our salvation is great because we have a great testimony to share of what Jesus has done for us. And we've got a great salvation because of what we have been saved out of. We've been saved out of hell and destruction. We've been saved out of the coming judgment that's coming. Our salvation is great because of its great scope that it offers to anyone and everyone who will come, as Jesus proclaimed in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, that whosoever will may come. It doesn't exclude anyone, but it's an open invitation for everyone. I think you can remember this serial killer named Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy was a serial killer, just horrible things that he did. And and he was tried and convicted and sentenced to death. And while he was on death row, he came to Christ. And James Dobson from Focus on the Family had sort of an exclusive interview with Ted Bundy. He didn't want to speak to anyone else but Focus on the Family for whatever reasons. And James Dobson interviewed him, and he came away and told the reporters that James Bundy had an assurance of his salvation, and that he knows that when he is executed for the crimes that he's committed, that he's got an assurance of his salvation and that Jesus Christ is going to welcome him into the kingdom. And when he made that statement, there was an outcry. There was people writing letters, "Oh no, no way, God would never accept a person like Ted Bundy." But you see the scope of our salvation? You see, he's able to save to the uttermost those who come to him. And as one evangelist put it, he's able to save to the guttermost those who come to him. The whosoever's will can come. That's the scope, the width, the depth of this glorious salvation that you and I have to share with others. It's a great salvation. And there is no sin, no sin that the blood of Jesus Christ does not cleanse or cover. How thankful we are for that. In 1 John it says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." And that word is a continual action, a continual cleansing. I love to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. That all of our sin, not in part, was nailed on the cross. Oh, the glorious salvation that we have in Christ. The greatness of our salvation that we have the privilege of sharing with others. Our salvation is great because of the great price that was paid. I think all of us probably have seen or maybe heard the film by Mel Gibson, The Passion, and how moving that was to us when we saw that. And just the vivid pictures of the suffering that our Savior went through and the torment that he had in the Garden of Gethsemane and the brutality of the crucifixion and all of our sin being placed upon him and that separation that took place from the Father when that sin was placed upon him. The tremendous price that he paid for you and for me. We have a great salvation because he paid a great price for us. What a great salvation we have. And it's great because it's the power to save men's souls from sin and offer them eternal life. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation." And it's just awesome to see how a life can be transformed and changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what a great salvation we have. And we have the privilege of sharing that with others, this great salvation. And we need not neglect it. Now in closing, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Because our salvation is great because of what we have been saved into. What we have been saved into. Ephesians chapter 1. And we're just going to just briefly look at this chapter. Of all the spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ. It's awesome to see all those things we've been saved into. Chapter 1 verse 3, Ephesians. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ." All those spiritual blessings that we've been saved into are now ours. Man, we've been given eternal life, God's free gift of salvation. We've been given eternal life. We are a new creation now in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We are seated together positionally with Christ in the heavenly places. Hey, our citizenship is in heaven. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He causes us to triumph in Christ. Hey, we are more than conquerors in Christ. Sin shall not have dominion over you in Christ. There's therefore no more condemnation for you in Christ. And we have been given the righteousness of Christ. It's been imputed to our account. And we are justified by faith in Christ. All of these things that we have been saved into this glorious salvation, this glorious gospel. Let's look at verses 4 and 5. Just as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. We have been chosen by Him. Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Through God's foreknowledge, He has predestined us to the adoption of sons in verse 5, by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. So we've been adopted as children of God, and we've obtained a glorious inheritance, an inheritance that is incorruptible, that is undefiled, and that does not fade away and is reserved in heaven for you. All of these things we've been saved into. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We have full forgiveness of all of our sins. And we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, a stamp of ownership on our life. The glorious salvation that we have, the glorious privilege that we have to share that. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 28 in closing. And so we are to give the more earnest heed to those things that we have heard, lest we drift away. Matthew 28, we want to look at verse 18 through 20. And this glorious gospel that we've been saved into, this glorious gospel that we have the privilege of sharing and that we should not never neglect. As Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." So giving the more earnest heed to those things that Jesus has commanded us. And the privilege we have of going and sharing what the Lord Jesus has done for us personally. This great salvation that we've been saved into. This great salvation that we have the privilege of sharing with others. The great commission that Jesus has given us. And so we are to give the more earnest heed. We are to stay anchored in the Word of God. Stayed tethered and tied to the Word of God. Giving the more earnest heed by being doers of the Word of God. By allowing the Word of God to become active and alive in our lives. Making our faith real and vibrant. Conforming us into the image of His Son. And the glorious salvation, this great salvation that we are not to neglect. But to rejoice in, to be excited about, and to be able to share with others what God has done for us. So our exhortation this morning is to stay firmly planted in the Word of God, giving a more earnest heed to those things that we have heard, those things concerning Jesus Christ, our glorious salvation that He has given us. So let us be encouraged in this exhortation this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for this exhortation to help us just realize, Lord, that we are to always give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. Lord, that we would not allow ourselves to drift. And Father, I pray for any of us here this morning that if we've sensed in our spirit that maybe we haven't been paying or giving the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, And maybe we've been drifting a little bit in our faith and in our commitment. Maybe we've been complacent in a few areas of our life. Maybe we've been compromising the Word of God in our life. I pray, Lord, that You will strengthen us, that You'll just help us recommit ourselves to You, to Your Word, to be faithful doers of your word and not hearers only. So, Father, just strengthen us and encourage us, Lord, to make your word active in our lives. And so we thank you, Lord, and we praise you, Lord, and we just give ourselves to you, Lord. And we ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.